Good morning, Dan and Amy. You know, this would be a one-off that you just kind of quickly dismiss if it weren't Chicago. But one of the 12 individuals murdered over the weekend.
And then what, is it 12 or 13? I mean, it's like they can't even keep count.
Well,
I've heard so many different numbers.
You have 70 people injured, so maybe some of them don't make it. I mean, it's a sort of a rolling number.
Yeah, that's so sad.
I mean, I hate to talk about human life like that, but those are the statistics. But a gentleman profiled by CBS, the local CBS affiliate, told his story. Stories of the Dead in Chicago, unfortunately a recurring segment. Earl Young is his name, lived in South Shore neighborhood.
Young was murdered Friday, one of 12 killed over the violent weekend. Payne says it all stemmed from Young's two puppies on the porch of his South Shore home.
And the puppies were peeing on the porch. And the pee ran down the porch into the neighbors.
Police say Young and the neighbor below exchanged words. Then Young was shot and killed. He was 30.
How petty are we now that we're living in a world that you could lose your life over puppy pee?
I don't know. How petty are we? To answer that question, or help us answer that question, we're pleased to be joined by State Representative LaShawn Ford, who is a legislator from the west side of the city. LaShawn, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan and Amy.
So you represent neighborhoods that have to deal with this endemic street crime violence. What should we be doing that we're not doing?
Well, it's important to say not only when you represent a community, you live in the community.
Yeah.
And your family and friends all live in the community. And I think that it's a must that we really respectfully look at the problem as an epidemic, like you said, in a state of emergency. Look at it as if there was a massive flood and there's, you know, the state of emergency where we're going to send in resources to help the communities where there was a flood. So there's been lots of killings, lots of violence, which means that it will continue if we don't try to help heal some of the people with behavioral health. The communities are filled with trauma, and so hurt people continue to hurt one another. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it is to make sure that we work closely with the Chicago Public Schools and the State Board of Education to make sure that we have quality schools on the west side and south side of Chicago. It's clear, if we take one community, let's just say we take Lincoln Park community, mm-hmm. and we say, this is a good model. Let's put that model in Austin and see how it turns out.
But what's
and
the model?
And when I say that model,
yeah,
that model is schools. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this has to do with Chicago Public Schools. So if we had a stronger school system, these shootings wouldn't be happening in Austin and Inglewood and South Shore?
Absolutely not, because the Chicago Public Schools sort of, for lack of a better term, breed the people that we have on the streets. So if you're not graduating, and the dropout rate is very high because the schools are not adequate in those areas, and the Chicago Public Schools would tell you, our schools are great in Lincoln Park. Our schools are great in, what is it? I think we have Whitney Young, Lane Tech. We know the great schools, but what about the other ones?
I want to talk about schools, but there's something that predates K-12 education, and that's the family. Is there a discussion to be had community-wide that basically says, take care of your household? Take care of your household, and if you need help, raise your hand, because there's a lot of people who want to help. But you're responsible for what happens in your household and what that produces in the community, and you need to take ownership of it.
Absolutely. Everyone should be responsible if they have children, to take care of their children. And there should be no excuse for people that are negligent in that. But we also have to make sure that we are aware and not forget, if we really want to help the communities, of the criminal justice system. You know, I was indicted on 17 counts of bank fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And had I been convicted of 17 counts of bank fraud and served time and came out, I probably would have never been able to get a job. I have my degree in education. I have my real estate license, my insurance license. I had these things, and I had a political career. Had I been convicted on a case that was ultimately thrown out on the day of trial, and I give a great respect to my attorney, Durkin, Thomas Durkin, for believing and fighting the system. So I say that to say that there are a lot of people that, one, have been convicted of crimes that they never did, and they're living in those communities, and they have felonies. We have people that have convicted crimes, but they're reformed, and they have felonies. Now, all of these people, most of them return to Austin, Inglewood, and they can't find jobs because people will not hire them.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they to do? Now, I don't say you go out and commit crimes, but I'm saying the government must find ways to, if we truly want to help these communities, we have to make sure people are employable and put them to work.
I'm all for discussions of helping ex-offenders that are to assimilate back in society. Some of these individuals are going to come out of prison, and so we can't pretend that that's not an issue. It is an issue. But when you talk about the criminal justice system, what about the other side? I mentioned this the other day on the show, but I'll mention it to you. A friend of mine is a criminal defense attorney, works at 26th and Cal, told me they have not charged their 10,000th felony yet at the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. Normally that happens about April of every year, and they're a couple thousand short of that, and now we sit in August. Point being, the job that Kim Fox is doing as Cook County State's Attorney to put away repeat violent offenders, instances of gun-related crimes. How would you assess the job that she's doing? Because a lot of what we hear and what I hear from people inside the state's attorney's office, people in the system, is that Kim Fox is basically a walking get-out-of-jail-free card.
Well, I would say that if we're 10,000, if we haven't hit 10,000, we have to think about most of the people that were getting felonies were petty drug cases, and they were not violent offenders. And therefore, we should not be slapping felonies, life sentences on people if they are not a threat to society. And I am all for locking up dangerous people, people that are a menace to society. If they're in my family, if they're my friends, if they're my loved ones, it doesn't matter to me. If they need to be behind bars, they need to be behind bars, because there's nothing we can do with them if they don't want the help. But there are people that have been charged with felonies in the past for simple drug cases, and their lives are ruined. It's a life sentence.
Now, Governor Rauner has weighed in on calling in the Illinois National Guard. He said no, because it's not a riot situation. And what are your thoughts on that? Because I know, I think it was, what, about 5 years ago, you teamed up with another politician to try and urge the governor then to, you know, let the Illinois National Guard help out.
One thing about being a representative is you have to listen to your constituents, and you have to make sure that you represent them the way they would like, and ways that will make the community better. So the call for the National Guard at the time was not taken well by the constituents. And, you know, they respectfully met over and over. They don't want the National Guards. That means I don't want the National Guards. I've learned since then that that's not the approach to bring in the National Guard.
Do they want several hundred more police officers that are scheduled to be deployed on the west and south sides? Starting right now. Yeah.
You know, it's I think that people are in fear, because as I noted some time ago, that Chicago is more violent than the days of Al Capone. So people are in fear, but we have to make sure the officers that's coming into our communities are trained. And what we have to do is not use our police officers as enemies of the community, but they should be finding out how to cut the flow of illegal drugs and illegal guns in these communities, protect our borders. And that's one of the reasons why I thought that the intelligence of the federal government with Donald Trump would be great. We need to bring in the United States intelligence to help us eliminate these illegal drugs and guns in our communities. Protect our borders.
So you don't see the police obviously as an enemy of the community. You've just indicated it. I mean, there's some stipulations, but okay. What about the consent decree that the Tribune is urging the city to ratify? Has such pressing reforms as making sure Chicago police officers ask individuals their preferred gender pronoun.
Well, you know, I can't respond to that. And I know you are a host and a reporter and you want answers, but I just have not gotten to that yet. But what I can tell you is that we are going to have a community forum on the consent decree with Lisa Madigan's office in my area where I live and represent. So that's being set up with Lisa Madigan's office right now so that we can understand what the consent decree is saying and how the community could help make our Chicago police force better. I think when I see Chicago police, I say they're human. And my mother always tells me, you know, these people have to respect the law enforcement because they want to go home too.
Right.
And so I come from a family that respects law enforcement and is a constant reminder that we have to all get along. So what we have to do is we have to have an olive branch from the Chicago police and the community to say that we want to be better. I want to be better. The police department want to be better. And they have to show it. And we have to show it. But when you have sting set up like they set up on the south side with gym shoes or whatever in the 18-wheeler, that is not an olive branch when you set people up to fail.
I just want to go back to close the circle on the issue you brought up before about CPS schools on the west side being like the CPS schools in Lincoln Park. What do you think the problem is at CPS, and I mean, in addition to sexual abuse that goes unreported and mishandled, but in terms of having the kind of schools that exist in the other parts of the city, because the per pupil spend is similar, if not more, than suburban schools, say, for example. So what's the hurdle that needs to be cleared so that West Side schools are like those in Lincoln Park or the North Side?
Yeah, that's a good question. Thanks for asking that. So in Austin, we have a failed public school system, whereas we need a new traditional public high school in the Austin community. What WBEZ did a report, and they did a report stating that the Austin schools didn't have books. They did not have teachers to teach the children, and the children were interviewed. When they were interviewed, they said, we're not going to be prepared to take the ACT because we haven't had teachers, we don't have books, we don't have foreign language. I mean,
Where's the money going?
Right, where's the money going? But guess what? It's not the individual schools, it's CPS. CPS controls the budget at $7-something billion, and it's unchecked. It's Rahm Emanuel's ability to run the schools and put the money where he wants it. And so I think that when you talk about families and their responsibilities, I think it's families and their responsibilities to fight and want more, want better education for their children. That's our role as citizens in this state, to ask for and demand better for our families.
All right. He is State Representative LaShawn Ford, a Democrat from the west side of the city. LaShawn, thanks for joining us as always. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan and Amy.
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.